Today we continue on a series on crossing the line, and it's interesting, I was reading a story of Arthur Medici, a young 26-year-old young man. You heard about his story, you just don't know his whole story. He was swimming near Cape Cod on September the 15th. Perhaps you recall the story. He was attacked by a shark, and as the shark was biting him, he was screaming, and his friend eventually pulled him out of the water, but it was too late. He had ended up suffering too much blood loss, and it ended up costing him his life. Well, for young Arthur Medici, his story didn't end there, nor did it begin there. It was a story of an amazing young man who fell in love with Jesus, very young, served the Lord in his church. And it's interesting because I was reading one clip about him, and listen to what it said. Talking about crossing the line and living out who you are. Arthur was a very happy young man. He loved life. He was active in his Christian church. He devoted his life to the Lord. Now think about that for a second. He was on the front side of life, but he'd crossed the line into commitment and dedication. He'd crossed the line into becoming who God intended for him to be. And what I want you to think about today is him crossing that line opened the door for him to walk into eternity at a time he didn't expect. He was engaged to be married to a beautiful young lady who was smart and kind-hearted, it says, a medical student, and he had a bright future. But as I read his story, I thought, I'm just going to scan the news clips to see how many of them tell the story of really what transpired in his life. And the truth of the matter is, most of them missed the very essence of what transpired with his life is when he crossed that line into personal faith, crossed that line into transforming faith, that believing that God was at work in his life. And today, if you think about that, we come to the juncture in Acts chapter 13. It's an amazing part of the Bible that we have recorded for us by Luke to challenge our heart to think about what happens when we go across the line. For Arthur Medici, he crossed that line as a child and then walked in eternity just a few years later after that. But what about you and me? What about our opportunity? No matter what age you are here today, as you think about this particular story, here's a little bit of the background. The church has been through persecution and difficulty, a lot of heartache and challenges. They've been overwhelmed by circumstances because people are inflicting damage on them and heartache on them. And as a result, they're spread out. The gospel spread. And the gospel goes all over the place. And then the word gets back to the church in Jerusalem. Hey, guess what? It's not just in Jerusalem. It's other places. He's at work all over the world. And they, as a result, they begin to pray and they begin to fast and they begin to study and they begin to listen. And listen, think about this for a moment. When during the weeks in which we looked at what it means to be a core believer, we clearly looked and saw that what happens is when you come to a point where your faith is real and your prayers are powerful and your listening to God's word becomes clear, and you begin to see God speak into your heart through his word. And when you do that, you get obedient. And that obedience creates a community connected to God's word, connected to God's plan. And that's exactly what transpired in Acts chapter 13. But what I want you to see today is it. There is a battle for every person who chooses to face that line and cross that line. And so what are we talking about when we cross that line? We're choosing to obey, choosing to surrender, choosing to recognize that he is sovereignly in charge of all of our lives, choosing to have the best life, nothing less than that. So in Acts chapter 13, we begin to see very quickly that there's something transpiring. Look at it with me, if you would, beginning in verse 1. And follow along with me, because today I want to show you two very distinctive things. I want you to understand that for anybody who chooses to cross the line, there will be a battle. But in that battle, there's also a great victory when we get amazed at what it is only God can do. And what I want you to see today is this. If you are at a juncture where you want to see him do something amazing, you want to see him speak to your heart in an amazing way, you want to experience what he intends for your life, then you have to be willing to yield yourself to God's plan, what he wants to do, and get set apart by him to accomplish his purpose for your life. And so today we look at what happens when we get set apart, and as we see what two men or called to do something, and what happens when one political figure is amazed by what it is that God does. And so as you look at this and you see this text, look if you would, beginning in verse 1. Now there were at Antioch in the church that there were some prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, and Lucius and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Five guys. Now think about this. Here's five men in community connected to a bigger community, and it's the church at Antioch. The church at Antioch has understood how to cross the line in the most amazing and powerful way. And it's the same thing I would want for our church, the church, One Heart Church, that we cross the line to experience what it is God intends for our life. Because watch this. If we stay on the wrong side of the line, if we say, I'm just not going there, I'm not taking that step, I'm not yielding to that, what happens is we miss the best of what God intends for our lives. So today, think about that and watch what transpired. Verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, and I want you to notice this, these references to the Spirit of God at work, okay? So being sent out, verse 4, by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had with them John as their helper. That's John Mark. Verse 6. And when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, which is capital of Cyprus, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, watch this, who was also known by Paul, as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, you will not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you'll be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then, look at verse 12, then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Now, I want you to get this in mind. Wasn't somebody else blinded because of their disobedience? Wasn't Saul on the road to Damascus when he was blinded? And didn't he have to have someone lead him along? But it's interesting because Saul understood on that road that there was an answer he could find. He could yield to that answer and experience life the way God intended. And today, as you think about that, I want you to think about how it transpires, because this political figure gets mesmerized by the truth that the magician could never match up to. And what I want you to think about is a simple question when it comes to your own life and your own journey of faith. How amazing is the gospel and God's word to you? All right? Because I want you to think about this. If I understand how powerful the gospel is, it amazes everything that I'm about. It transforms my thought process. It speaks to my heart in a vivid way. This past week, I had the privilege of being at a Living on the Edge board meeting in California with Cindy, and I was sitting in this board meeting, and they began to tell stories. And it's amazing because when you hear a story, it stays with you. In fact, I have no doubt for many of you, you'll think about that guy attacked by a shark and realize that while the media says he shot, attacked by a shark and died, it does not tell you that young man knew Jesus and as a result will spend eternity with Jesus. That part of the story isn't reflected. But we were at this meeting and they began to tell the story. And they read one story that was so vivid and so transforming that I sat there thinking, how could this be? Two people married together, had a horrible relationship, didn't get along, didn't know which way to turn, didn't, in fact, eventually separated, were their family had been torn apart, and then the gospel got a hold of their heart. And the gospel began to speak to them. And God's word began to invade their life as a result of them listening to a broadcast. And as a result of that, they began to realize something. Guess what? We can cross the line. We can cross the line and experience what God intends. And as a result, as listening to their story, they got back together and their lives came together and their story came together. And it was amazing. You know why? Because they crossed the line. Today, as you think about that, they could have underestimated the power of God. But they didn't. And it's the same thing with Paul. He could have underestimated what God could do, but he didn't. And I want you to realize this regarding our lives. Do not underestimate what he can do, because watch what transpired. The church at Antioch had a priority. And their priority was to discover the purpose of God. If they discovered the purpose of God, they would experience the power of God at work in their lives. So I want you to think about that in light of your own life. Because think about this for a moment. Our priorities define the essence of our entire story. And let's just say that I asked you to give you a card and said, lay down your three greatest priorities, three highest priorities for your life. And you began to think through those and you began to realize something. Wait a minute now. I have three priorities, but none of them link into God's purpose. I want to have a good home, or I want to have a good life, or I want to be joyful all the time. And yet, the truth of the matter is that none of them zero in on what happens when all of a sudden I decide to cross the line into experiencing what God intended for my life. Imagine what happens when all of a sudden your priorities, watch this, your priorities align with God's purpose. In other words, all of a sudden it fits together into experiencing what he intended. The truth of the matter is, when I think about that, I think about how his purpose is revealed to those who make him first. And isn't it interesting? The Bible says you have to seek him with all your heart or you cannot find him. So as you seek him with all your heart, you start thinking, all right, these are the priorities of my life. His purpose is revealed to me. And when what happened to it? We get to experience the power of God at work in our life. And that power, by the way, is evidenced by the peace of God that passes understanding. So imagine for a second, align this in your thoughts for a second. You have priorities. You start thinking, these are the things that I set out to do. And then you began to process those, go, wait a minute now, how many of them link into God's purpose for my life? And then as you start thinking about his purpose for your life, you think about, what kind of power do I feel? What kind of energy do I experience? And I had this experience while we were going away. I was thinking about energy that we have. You have to have gas to run your car, stuff like that. And we'd rented a car while we were there and stopped to put gas in the car. And it's interesting because the sign said $3.99. And I thought, well, you know, that's a lot higher than what we pay at home, but I guess that's what it is. But we had to have fuel. We had to have energy. We had to have power. We had to move forward. The priority was to make sure we got the next place. And so then when I actually looked at the pump, it was $3.99 if you paid cash. It's $4.29 if you paid on a credit card. All right, so think about this. All right, we got to have gas, but boy, is that power expensive. And so as we finished, I sat down in the car and my wife said, you got ripped off. And that's my first thought. I did get ripped off. And then we drove about one block and it was a gas station for $3.49 a gallon, cash or credit. And I was sitting there thinking, you know what we sometimes do? We think there's only one place to stop. And we'll pay any price to arrive at what it is we're looking for. The truth matters, we'd just gone a little further. We'd have found what we needed at the right price and the right way. Think about this in your own Christian life. What if you've been paying $3.99 or $4.29 for an experience when God has something in line for you for $3.49? You just have to be willing to line up your priorities. Line up your priorities so you see his purpose. As you see his purpose, you begin to experience his power. As you begin to experience his power, you experience his peace. And that peace that comes in your heart and life, nobody can take away. And I'm going to tell you, it's what motivates me to live life every single day. The peace that passes understanding does something inside of me that the world could never do. And so here's what transpired. This story begins to unfold. The church has met, and they begin to pray, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to them. And you'll notice in verse 2, notice what transpires here. While they were ministering to the Lord, in other words, while they were worshiping the one who knew everything about them and who would ever know every step of their whole journey, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment. They're praying, they're listening, they're hearing, and they begin to realize something, that the Spirit of God is speaking to their hearts very clearly. And says, hey, I want these two to go do exactly what I want them to do and to do it God's way, do it my way. The Holy Spirit begins to speak. And imagine that they do exactly what they said here. They stop, they pray, they fast. And what I want you to get in mind is this. As we choose to live effectively, we will also choose to set apart moments in our lives where we ask the Spirit of the Lord to speak to our heart, to use us to accomplish what it is he intends. So today, as you think about that, watch as this passage unfolds, because this set apart moment, in fact, if you look on to verse 12, I want you to see how this all transpired. In one moment, they're obeying God. In another moment, somebody's being amazed by God. Look at verse 12, again, as we read it one more time. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. So balance this for a second. this political figure was not mesmerized by what transpired by the magician who had been hanging out trying to mislead him, trying to give him some kind of story that would unfold. He was mesmerized by the teaching of the Lord. And I want you to think about this in light of who we are as a church, who we are as a family. What does God intend for us to do? He intends for us to be amazed at his teaching, amazed at what it is he wants to accomplish through it. And I'm going to tell you what happens. When you get amazed, you get energy, you get direction, you get hope, you get purpose. Something begins to transform everything about who you are. And that's what transpires in this particular text, because they're set on mission. They're set apart. And what it means to be set apart, when you look at those particular words, is very clear. Chosen by God to accomplish his purpose. All right? So the Holy Spirit speaks to those who are praying, and there are more people there than those five, by the way. These are just five people mentioned as leaders from different parts of the world, by the way, who've gathered together. And these five in Antioch, they've gathered together and praying with others, and as a result, they said, set apart for these two. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. We are chosen as his children to accomplish his purpose. And then we oftentimes have special moments where we are set apart to do something very specific that's very clearly defined by God. So think about what all transpires here. When they were set apart, there were all these acts of affirmation, all right, which tie into our core values as a church family and our core values as living as believers. And let me just tell you how vivid this transpired. You see that all of a sudden they began to pray. There are several acts. There's prayer. There's fasting. There's also the laying on of hands. And then there's the sending of these two men to go do what they're supposed to do. All right? Just a few weeks ago, we had in our church house, a wonderful young man who's a pastor in Thailand. We were in the middle of the wrap-up of the core values, and I told him, I want to give you a copy of our core values, all the detailed material. I asked Ayla to get it together for me, and so I gave him this material. And last week, he was communicating with me, and it's always fun to know that God's at work all over the world, in Thailand, Laos, Myanmar, all these different places. And he sent me pictures of different prisons he'd been in and mission to street children, all of which is interesting. He showed me pictures of 42 kids, and he said, these children without Jesus will all be in the sex traffic industry. This is the only hope they have is Jesus. And it tells you something, how powerful it is when someone lives for him. And so as a result, he began to tell me, he had taken his material, and he said, you know, I want to teach this to all the pastors I work with, to all the prisoners I encounter. I want to teach this to everyone. I want them to all become core believers. So here's the question you get down to. It was the priority of our team to develop something that would help all of us see what it means to be a committed, dedicated, authentic follower of Jesus, a disciple. And we had no idea that one copy, not three copies, not five copies, not 10 copies, one copy would carry across the ocean, 12-hour difference in time zone, into a prison, into a homeless shelter for little kids, into places that we never dreamed, into pastors' hearts and lives. What I want you to see today is this. When you set somebody apart to accomplish his purpose, there is nothing stopping it. And what you discover here is that when you read this particular part, it says they prayed, they fasted, they laid hands on, and laying on hands was an affirmation of them being willing to live out God's purpose for their life. And as a result, it's the very same thing we do. We'll be doing that coming up at the end of October when we pray for those who are going to Tanzania. And what do? We're affirming them being across that line to share God's truth with others. It's all about us being able to set that in motion. So they get, that what happens is Paul and Barnabas, they head out into their mission field. They travel different places. They go several places. Obviously, they're being led by the Holy Spirit, which I want you to see in verse 2, in verse 4, in verse 9. You should underline very clearly what was the key to Paul's success. What was the key to Barnabas' success, and what is the key to our success? It is yielding to the Holy Spirit at work in our lives where we hear and sense him speaking with great clarity. And as he speaks, we just have to yield to it. So watch this for a second. Let's say he speaks to our hearts on a particular issue, and we hear him speaking with profound clarity. It's the very reason that we're looking today at Cross the Line. God spoke to my heart about how important it is that we look and see what happens with the church when the church aligns, watch this, its core values with an action plan. And that action plan moves it forward. And so I was in the middle of studying and getting ready for all this. And a few days ago, I had a lunch with one of our members. And it's interesting because I want to know, how do you arrive? How do you arrive? Actually, a fellowship. How do you arrive at what it is you're going to preach? And you know what's interesting? It is not taken out of somebody else's book. It is not taken off the internet. It is not taken off someone else's idea. It is hearing God speak. And as he speaks, he gives you clarity. And you start knowing, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to do. And today, as you think about it, what my heart's desire is that you would understand the Holy Spirit has a plan for your life as well. He will speak to you in clarity. He will speak to you in direction. He'll give you hope. He'll give you purpose. He'll give you meaning. He'll give you priorities. He'll give you power. He'll give you peace. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, that's what I want. Because if you say that, it opens the door for you to be able to experience the best of what God has for your life. So today, as you think about your own journey, I want to show you two things that stand out. First of all, the battles that face every person who is seeking Jesus, all right? Because it's not always the same kind of battle, but they have some similarities, all right? So the first thing I want you to see is, as they arrive in Paphos in verse 6, they obviously realize that they have a battle to fight. And what I want you to see is that the enemy places adversaries in front of anyone seeking truth. In other words, the enemy goes, okay, I'm going to keep Sergius Paulus from ever being able to understand the truth because I'm going to throw something at him that I'm going to always be throwing magic at this experience. And as you begin to see the story unfold, you realize that Sergius Paulus has to make a choice, all right? Which tells you something too, by the way. Across the line, you have to make a choice. And so he has to make a choice. Am I going to listen to the magician who's been hanging out with me, who even falsely calls himself the son of Jesus? Or am I going to listen to somebody who I can tell when they speak with authority? Their hearts are fixed on something that is powerful and meaningful. They have authority in their life. And no doubt, can you imagine how Paul thundered with authority? Can you imagine when Paul finally sets his eyes on that guy, Elymas, and goes, the Bible says he fixed his gaze. Now, have you ever had anybody stare at you and then you realize, man, they're burning a hole through you? I mean, they just fix their eyes on you. And this used to happen when our children were little, when we used to be in the church in Arkansas. And it's interesting because my wife would play the organ, and she would have her back to a lot was transpiring. But there were three little munchkins that whatever noise they made, she heard it even with her back to them. And when they were misbehaving, all she had to do was to give a glance. Isn't that right, Caleb? I mean, she'd look at those kids, and she didn't have to say, "You children, stop that while I'm playing the organ." She just glanced at them. Now, if they didn't stop in the first glance, you know what transpired? She'd look at them with a deeper glance. And they knew they were all dead if they didn't straighten up and step up. And I want you to imagine, for this magician, he had free rein to do what he wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, something transpires, and it changes everything because all of a sudden the magician realized somebody's fixing his gaze on him. And watch this carefully. When we fix our gaze on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we get to experience life the way God intended. So today I want to challenge you. Fix your gaze on him and watch what transpires. So the magician is trying to mislead this politician. But what happens here is the politician was seeking an answer only Jesus could give. In other words, when you look at it, he couldn't get the answer. He couldn't get the answer. The magician had been hanging out with him for a long time and had never given him the answer. He kept playing card tricks on him. He didn't give him the answer. And as a result, when Paul and Barnabas show up, this guy says, and by the way, it's interesting, it says this man was intelligent. In other words, he was not somebody who didn't have intellect. He had intellect, but watch this carefully. You can be as smart as a PhD, but if you don't understand who Jesus is and what he can do, you can live your whole life, watch this, blinded by culture, blinded by the world, blinded by other people's thoughts, blinded by a system that says there's all kinds of different ways to find direction and hope. Listen carefully. It is Jesus who gives us hope. It is Jesus who gives us direction. And how I thank God for many in this room who have accomplished great things academically. But if our academic prowess doesn't line up with his power, if our academic prowess doesn't line up with his purpose, if our academic prowess doesn't line up with the peace that passes understanding, how can we ever experience what it is God intended? And the truth is, we can't. And so what happens is this guy says, I want to get what Jesus can give me. And listen carefully. If you're here today and you're looking for something, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus is the only one who can give you what you need to last forever. Because when he speaks to your heart, he speaks to your life, he changes everything. A final thing I want you to see about this battle, because there is this battle going on. And it's not all flesh and blood, as we know. It's principalities and powers of darkness in high places. This is a big battle going on. And what transpires is Paul confronted evil with truth. And what I want you to get in your mind is this. We understand we live in a fallen world. We understand we live in an evil world with all kinds of wicked things that are part of our world. But what's important for you and me to realize is this. That in the midst of all the evilness that we face, there is a truth that carries us beyond it. There is a principle that guides our lives. There are promises that speak to our heart. You just have to be willing to fight the battle. And watch this carefully. You can't cross the line if you're not willing to fight the battle. In other words, what happens to a lot of people, and listen, this is the scary part of the day we live in. There are so many who confess him, but don't live for him. In other words, they say, oh yeah, I want Jesus, I want everything, but I want to make sure I can do my own thing. Because I don't want, you mean I got to come to church on Sunday? You mean Sunday's important? I mean, you realize what we've done? We have flooded Sundays with soccer practices. We've flooded Sundays with activities that don't center our children's hearts on Jesus. We've sacrificed Sunday to make it the biggest shopping day at the mall. We sacrificed all these things. Listen carefully. You can buy everything the mall offers, but if your children miss Jesus, if our teenagers miss Jesus, then we have failed at the very thing God called us to do. We were set apart and called to model something. And I'm not being legalistic about this, but let me just say this. Being in his house should not be an option point for people who are on the wrong side of the line. It should be a choice made by God's children to follow him, serve him, listen to him, and understand how to obey him. And I'm going to tell you, just because we have watched our culture dilute every value that's important to us, just because we have watched everything seem to go awry, it is not our choice to live on the wrong side of the line. We choose as his children to live for him. We choose to stand on this side of the line no matter what, no matter what age we are, no matter what background we come from. When Jesus becomes everything, we cross that line. We are called and amazed by God, and we come in his house saying, Lord, speak to me. Amen. And listen carefully, and my wife quoted this week again from a friend she'd listened to years ago. What we do in moderation, our children will do in excess. So you think about this for a moment. When we don't prioritize the prayers of the hearts of our children, let me tell you, I was at my son and daughter-in-law's house a few weeks ago, and I happened to be by there to drop something off, and it was bedtime. And I got to go upstairs, and I listened to my children teach their children how to seek Jesus, how to pray to him. And it was their nightly part of their story. And I sat there, I walked away so mesmerized and so amazed. Because for little Levi, and someday soon little Isla, she'll realize something. At the name of Jesus, you can change the world. At the name of Jesus, you can live for him. And so as you think about that, there's a battle to be fought. And listen carefully. Keep on fighting. Keep on fighting and believe in what it is you believe is truth. Live the truth out from God's word. That's why I say to every person here, Tuesday's the deadline for registering to vote. If you haven't registered to vote, you need to register, and you need to vote. You need to vote your convictions. You need to vote what it is you believe, and vote however you choose. In fact, I've heard a lot of pastors who are telling people who to vote for. And I said, you know what? If you're not smart enough to follow Jesus long enough to cross the line the right way, and you have to have somebody else tell you who to vote for, something's wrong with your system. You ought to figure that out on your own. You ought to figure out and understand, because truth is, who you vote for should represent what you believe. Not because they're perfect people, because by the way, the only perfect politician you ever read about, he's in here. All right? And he wasn't a politician really, but he was a king. All right, so keep that in mind. I just want to challenge you because truth of the matter is that we as God's people ought to be responsible and do our civic duty as well as our spiritual duty and make sure that we take responsibility for that. Amen? Amen. And I want you to say amen if you understand. I don't have to tell you who to vote for in any election, in any time, in any place, because you are God's children. You'll hear him speak to your heart who you're supposed to vote for. And then we will act on that based on whoever is elected. I prayed for every president that's ever been elected. I prayed for every politician that's ever been elected. I don't agree with all of them and everything. You know what? That's my responsibility. Not my responsibility. My responsibility is to fast and pray, be set apart, be called, be amazed, and watch him work in our country and around our world. Because I'm going to tell you, it is not just our country. It's our world that needs Jesus. And if we keep a heart on Jesus, something happens that's powerful. Second thing I want you to see. First of all, battle, okay? And I wanted to, by the way, that was not in any way a political statement, because the truth is I have no interest in politics whatsoever. I trust no one but Jesus. But the truth is I want you to get in mind that you have a responsibility, all right? And so that's the battle we fight. Secondly, what happens is that this man, what transpires with this man is amazing, because he's in charge of a whole region. Okay? It'd be like somebody who is in charge of the southeast, all right? He has a region that the Roman government said, hey, you're in charge of it. But he was empty, and he was looking for something. And he saw these guys and said, man, I want to learn about Jesus. I want to hear what it is that's going on. It's powerful. And as a result, the Bible makes it clear that his faith is authenticated. And I want you to get this, and don't miss this principle. His faith is authenticated in the midst of the miraculous. In other words, he watches his magician not be able to cast a spell on what's transpiring with Paul and Barnabas. Now, I want you to imagine for a second. Here's a magician going, uh-oh, I've got something bigger than I thought I was facing here. This is a bigger challenge than I thought I would encounter. And as a result, the Bible says that the proconsul, the regional governor of that area, his faith became real. It was authenticated. And what I want you to see today is this. In the midst of all this confusing culture we live in, listen, people are looking for Jesus. They're looking for an answer. They're looking for hope. They're looking for peace. They're looking for meaning and purpose in their life. If you're here today and you haven't experienced that, I'm going to encourage you to experience that with us, because it changes your life forever. You just have to be willing to take that step. And so here is this faith that's being authenticated. And it's interesting because two or three things I want you to see. First of all, his faith became real. I mean, can you imagine all of a sudden, man, he had something he had never had in his life. And I'm going to tell you, the day Jesus became real to me, it was real forever. And it ought to be the same way with you. When you meet him, it changes everything. He becomes so real. It's not something that is some fantasy. It's the reality of Jesus at work. The second thing I want you to see is this. He was amazed at the word being shared. We don't know what all transpired in the teaching time, but here's what we do know. Whatever it was caught his attention. It's my prayer today that what I've said to you from God's word has caught your attention as well. That you'd become the man or woman he wants you to be as a result of being amazed by what he said to your heart and life. And as a result of that, another thing transpired. One other thing, and it's simply this. No obstacle can take away from you your victory. You see, for Sergius Paulus, he had the obstacle of government. He had the obstacle of being misled by a magician. He had the obstacle of, I'm sure, a secular culture. But no obstacle could take away his faith. Today I want to show you and encourage you to think about this. No obstacle should get in the way of your faith. No obstacle should get in the way of your journey. Jesus has a plan specifically laid out just for you. So I ask you these questions. Two questions to think about. What kind of battles do you face? And are you amazed with Jesus? Because here's what I want you to see. When you face battles, it may be those battles are putting you in a place where Jesus becomes everything. Sitting in this room are two wonderful people from India who minister to children in the slums of India, battling every day what it is they have to do. And their battle is not easy, but they cross the line into faith and are still amazed by Jesus. And how I thank God that their little girl gets to be in our academy for a few months to experience the amazing experiences that transpire at Norcross Christian Academy, a fabulous place for lots of beautiful children. As you think about you, what are your battles? Are you amazed? And if you are, watch Him work in your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word speaks to our hearts and lives. Thank you for the privilege of being able to engage in accomplishing your purpose. Lord, I sit and look in this room, and I thank you, Jesus, that there are men and women, there are students, there are children here even as well who understand something. Jesus is the answer to everything we will ever face. Lord, we cross that line. We say yes to you. Bless us as we respond to you, for we pray this in Jesus' amazing name. Amen.